to be here this morning. Good to be here. You can sit down. You don't even know who I am. I don't know why you're cheering. Sit down. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You're good. You're good. You can sit. Appreciate it. You're good. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bible. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see that some things never change. You still scream and yell for someone you don't know. I've been there. Whoever it is, we cheer and we yell. So it's good. Good to see some things never change. Turn your Bible, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5. It's so good to be here this morning and to be back and to see some of the same staff and faculty. I didn't graduate that long ago in 2015, so just a little bit ahead of you guys in the race here and in the Christian walk. But I appreciate Hiles Anderson College, and this college means a lot to me and to my wife, to my family, and it's good to see the same staff and faculty all these years that are sticking to it, are staying faithful. And I could start listing names, and obviously Brother John and the influence he's had on my life and the bus ministry. I'll say this. We'll talk about more about it tomorrow. But one regret I don't have in college is jumping in and getting involved in the bus ministry. Serving as a bus captain and a division leader, I can tell you from experience, because I'm there right now, there are principles, there are things that I learned in the bus ministry that I'm still putting into play today as we start in this new church in Newtown, Connecticut. You will never regret in college jumping in, learning to reach people, following Brother John's lead, and making a difference in the city of Chicago. But I think of other staff and faculty here. I'm a big sports fan. I can name a bunch of staff and faculty, but I'm a big sports fan, and I always think on my team, you know, there's that one player on your team that's just kind of, you think in your mind, they're really underrated. You know, they don't really get a lot of the spotlight, and but without him on your team, you know, you wouldn't be successful. You know, you wouldn't win championships. You wouldn't make it happen. You always have that guy on your team. And for me, in college, and even now, my good friend, that's Brother Rob Osgood, who I just think keeps it together and has been such a friend to me as a freshman in college and an influence to me. And it's good to see him here and still loving the guys and still in his place. And I appreciate his friendship this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bible, we're going to read verses 14 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 20. And you can follow along as I read, and we'll move right along here this morning. The Bible says, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, wherefore he saith, notice this phrase, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we're going to talk for a few moments on this subject. Don't get caught sleeping. Don't get caught sleeping. Let's pray. We'll jump into it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for this college, what it stands for, what it means. Thank you for these young men and women, Lord, that have surrendered their life and are here because they want to enter the ministry. They want to serve you. And Lord, I pray in the few moments that we have that you would work. Lord, I pray that you put away distractions, Lord. I pray that anything that would cause our mind and heart to wander, that you would put it away. Help us to focus not on me, but on your word and your message. Lord, I pray when we walk out those doors in a few moments, we'd be encouraged, we'd be strengthened, we'd be edified, we'd be drawn closer to you as a result of what's done here this morning. We love you, and we ask these things in your precious Son's name. Amen. We're familiar with the statement or the phrase, a wake-up call. You know, we think by its original definition, a phone call that you arranged to be made, for example, in a hotel. Me and Brother Brandon waking up at Hartford there at a hotel 3 this morning to catch a plane here. You get a wake-up call, right, to remind you to make sure you're alert, to make sure you're ready to go at a certain time. And although that's the original definition, we are also familiar with it in its context of something that happens in your life that is so drastic, it makes you realize that you need to take action to change a situation. For example, whether that's maybe a health crisis that strikes and it's a wake-up call for you that you just start eating better and exercising and taking care of yourself. Maybe it's a financial debt that just starts to get out of hand and it's a wake-up call for you to get your finances in order and create a budget. And I could go on and on with example after example, but here in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, to Christians. And there in verse 14, he says, "Awake, thou that sleepest." What is Paul saying? He's saying the children of God, Christians, can sometimes fall asleep spiritually, and they need to be awakened. They need a wake-up call, if you will. The old legend or story goes, Satan is said to have sent some of his minions from the bottomless pit for the purpose of doing all the harm they could on Christians and believers. On their return, one of them reports that he had overtaken a company of Christians in a storm, and he destroyed them by sinking their vessels. "You did no harm," said Satan, "for they all went straight to heaven. Another set fire to property and destroyed much wealth that belonged to Christians." "You may have done no harm," continued Satan, "for their losses make them all more determined to fight against us." Finally, one reported that he had succeeded in putting to sleep a large number of Christians. Satan smiled, and all the hosts of devils shouted their approval, and the legend has it in that awful truth that nothing can do the cause of Christ more harm than for his people to go to sleep. For his people not to realize what is going on in the world around them. College student, can I propose to you this morning the fact that I'm 30 years old, so I still consider me part of your generation. Maybe that's not technically right. But can I propose to you this morning that the fact that our generation, your generation, needs a spiritual wake-up call to realize what is going on in our world, in our country, and in our communities? What is the signs of sleep? Well, there's inactivity. Some of you right now. There's insensibility to slight impressions. There's dreaming off in your own little world, not paying attention to what's going on around you. And can I tell you this morning, by way of introduction, this is not time for our generation to go to sleep. This is not time for our generation to quit the faith, to cower, to back down, to sell out, to go to sleep, and to become numb to the things of this world. No, but as Paul said to the church, it's time for you to wake up. Wake up and realize the seriousness of the hour that we are in. Now, I am not here this morning to accuse or cast judgment on all of us that we're all spiritually sleeping. But if I could, for just a few moments, maybe come to you in this long journey of your college year, in the early month, to set the precedent to be, if you would, a wake-up call. To understand a few things that Paul talks about here in Ephesians chapter 5 and how they are applicable to us as our generation. Are they applicable to you as a college student? Number one, look at verse 19, if you would, in chapter 5. Paul says, "Awake thou that sleepest," in verse 14, and then he leads in verse 15 with this. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Number one this morning, college student, wake up and realize the responsibility of your calling. Wake up and realize the responsibility of your calling. Say, what do you mean? The Greek word translated circumspectly is one of 10 synonyms in the Greek New Testament. It's the idea of being perfect. In other words, this verse is telling us to walk carefully, to walk precisely. One commentator that I read, I think, painted the perfect illustration for this verse. He said, in some European countries, property is often protected by a high wall, the top of which is covered with embedded broken glass to discourage intruders who might climb over it. One can sometimes, while you're looking at the top of that wall, you can see a cat, and they're walking along the top of the wall, and they walk circumspectly. They walk carefully. They walk precisely. You watch as the cat picks up one paw and carefully places it where there's no glass and proceeds carefully, attentively, and gingerly with the next step. Now listen to me, young person. Most of you are here this morning at Hiles Anderson College because God has called you with a heavenly calling. And it is of utmost importance that as servants of God, as Paul says here, we walk our walk, we follow our calling circumspectly, carefully, above reproach, remaining to be testimonies for our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, and we hear it all the time. We've heard it in youth conferences growing up. We've heard it in our home churches. You hear it in chapel every week. But does it dawn on you? Has it soaked in? Do you realize that as a young person trying to serve the Lord with your life, that the devil has a target on our back? That the devil is out to destroy you? That the devil is out to do everything he can to take you out and to take your families? And can I tell you by way of testimony, there are way too many people out there, as Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. There are way too many people out there in our world today that need the gospel, that need peace, that need strength, that need God, and we can't afford to lose servants of God. We can't afford to lose more young people. We can't afford to have more young people selling out. We can't afford to have more young people falling into sin. No, we must do what is ever and ever necessary to protect your calling, to protect your testimony from being destroyed. Say, yes, Brother Zach, and we look at our world, and sometimes it can be intimidating, right? We see wealthy businessmen. Newtown, Connecticut, where we started the church, the median income is about $135,000. These people think they have all the answers. Most of them work in New York City. They live in the suburb. They take the train to work. The average house, 4,000, 5,000 square foot at a vacation house all around the country. These people think they have it all together. But can I tell you this morning, they may know what they're doing in this world, but most of them don't know where they're going when it comes to eternity. Most of them don't know what the Bible says. Most of them don't know what the gospel says. And we can't afford to lose more servants of God. We can't afford to lose more laborers. Satan is so cunning and crafty, isn't he? He brings things across your path while you're in college to get you to abandon your call. Whether that's discouragement this morning, whether it's a wrong friend group, and I can attest, yes, you can have a wrong friend group in Bible college. Whether it's addictions and secret sins that you brought with you to college and you're too embarrassed to deal with now while you're in college because you don't want the staff and faculty to know. And so you deal and you struggle with these secret sins. You deal and you struggle with these addictions, putting them aside, putting them in the back of your mind, and Satan has you right where he wants you. Because what he'll do, he'll let you get married. He'll let you have kids. He'll let you even have a church. And then the bomb will go off. Because you never dealt with what you're struggling with. And I tell you, college student, there are staff and faculty here this morning that love you, that care about you, that pray for you. Don't let pride and don't let humiliation, don't let Satan deceive you. If you're struggling with something, get help with it now while you're in college. Because what Satan will do is when you leave here, it'll blow up and it'll hurt a ministry, it'll hurt a family, it'll hurt a wife, it'll hurt children, and he's got you right where he wants you. Deal with it now. Deal with it now. Don't let it grow. Jobs that maybe you took just simply to pay your school bills. And soon you see the financial gain that could come from it. And so what do? We sell out our heavenly calling. For what? To chase a dollar? For what? To have a nice car and a big house? We're going to sell it all out for that. That's what Satan does. So Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 5, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And college students, can we remember, can it sink in our hearts and minds this morning to remember, to wake up and realize the responsibility that comes with our calling? Verse 16, he goes on, he says this, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wake up and realize the requisite of your calling. Fancy word so I can alliterate for need. Realize the need of your calling. The need in our world today is for more pastors. The need in our world today is for more missionaries, for more youth pastors, for more godly pastors, wives, and teachers. The need is great. If I can make a plug for New England this morning, there are churches that used to be the spiritual hotbed there in our country. It's where revivals were founded, and now it's a spiritual wasteland. Churches are closing their doors, wrong doctrines are being preached, and there's no men, there's no pastors, there's no one to step in the gap and to fill these people and point them towards Christ. I heard David Gibbs say once, Dr. David Gibbs, he said, we either win the Northeast or we lose the country. We need more pastors. We need more missionaries. There is a need. The secular universities are full. There's nothing against a young, saved young person pursuing something else rather than ministry if that's what God has called for them. But surely I look around as a 30-year-old and I see there's a gaping hole of young men and young women in our generation called to the ministry to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where are we? What are we doing? I heard the stories in the 70s. I heard the stories in the 80s. I heard the stories in the 90s. Where's our generation this morning? Where are we? What are we doing for God? Do we realize the seriousness of the hour that we're in? Paul says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. That Greek word evil can be translated to pornographic, is where we get our word. Meaning what? We live in an immoral, wicked society and culture. College person, wake up this morning, realize that the spiritual life is not some playground that we're on, it's a battleground. It's not some game that we're here because we want to appease our pastor and our parents back home. No, it is a spiritual warfare and battleground that we are engaged in this morning. Existing churches are closing their doors faster than new churches are being planted. Immorality plagues our society and our culture and our children. Children are being indoctrinated in our school systems. And I can attest to you, just a few months ago, I was reading a list of the summer reading in Newtown and Sandy Hook that they had for second and third graders. The books that were mandatory for them to read before they entered into Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I could this morning not even stand behind this pulpit and read some of the paragraphs or even give you a description of those books because that's how wicked and vile they were. And yet they're forcing a second and third graders to read these things, to become familiar with these things. And I can go on and on this morning, but the point is this, there is one sin that Satan does not commit, and it's laziness. And he's hard at work. He's not omnipresent like the Lord. He can't be everywhere at once, but he makes up for that lack with organization. Exceptional organization, if I would. Principalities, rulers of darkness assigned to towns, assigned to cities, assigned to homes. You realize he's real this morning. You realize that he's not out to play games with you, to mess around in Bible college. He's not out, you know, cute and just playing games and just playing tag. No, he's out to destroy. He's out to kill. He's out to take you out. He's out to take me out. And we must wake up and realize what is going on around us. The need for our calling. The need. Many of you sit here this morning and you're studying and you're called to be a pastor. Called to be a youth pastor, be a missionary, a pastor's wife, a Christian school teacher. Whatever God has called you to do has brought you to Hiles Anderson College. And I am here this morning as a wake-up call, if you will, to remind you how important you are needed in this world. Keep pursuing God's calling for your life. Treat that calling with the utmost importance. I'm tired of going on the news in 2020. I'm tired of going on social media and seeing our generation out there. They're not afraid to march through the streets. They're not afraid to push their agendas. They're not afraid to raise their flags and push their anthems and make videos and go all over the place. They're not afraid to do all that stuff with the things that are anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-church. Where's our generation who will stand up and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to beat them over the head with the Bible, but with love and with boldness, I'm going to stand for God. Amen. With love and for boldness, I'm going to go out and start a church. With love and with boldness, I'm going to take a church that needs a pastor. With love and with boldness, while I'm in Bible college, I'm not going to flake from responsibility. I'm going to fill a bus and reach people. Where's our generation to stand up with a loud voice and say, hey, let's do something for God? Amen. The need for our calling. Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut is known for the shooting that took place there in 2012. Most of us heard on the news. I knew going into the community and the church, growing up the town over, that we would probably be dealing with a lot of those families that went through that. I didn't realize how quickly it would happen. There's a man in our church. He's a police officer. He started coming to our church. He said, Pastor, I've been praying for a good church in Newtown for years. And I saw what you were doing. I told my family, finally, a good church has come. We got to plug in and get involved. He told me the story. He said, Pastor, I'm a police officer here the town over. My children went to Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I'll never forget in 2012 when I got the phone call. What was going on at the school? He said it was about a 20-minute ride from my town to the school. But I got there in about 9 minutes, and I was one of the first responders to the school. And when I walked in there, I was not ready for what I saw. He said, Pastor, I can't even begin to describe you the horrific scenes, the bodies being carried out, just the tragedy, stepping over the shooter when he first walked into the building, and wondering, is my son and my niece who are here, are they even alive? He said, horrific, evil that was taking place in that community. Praise the Lord, God protected his son and his niece. They recently just graduated Newtown High School and have been at many youth activities that we've had with Brother Brandon. And their family's growing in the Lord. But I tell you that to tell you this. He plugged me, he connected me with another family in town. He said, hey, there's this couple that I know, their son is also a survivor of the shooting. They're having a lot of trouble with him. They don't really have a Christian background, but I told them about the church, and I think you would do good just to give them a phone call and to talk to them. Lo and behold, the wife actually reached out to me first and said, hey, Pastor, I saw your church, and you know, I'm friends with so-and-so, and could you come over and talk to us? We need to do something. Our son struggles with PTSD from the shooting. We're just having a hard time with him. We don't know where else to go and turn. Here I am, this 30-year-old kid in my eyes, and I'm pulling up to this house. And I kid you not, 3-car garage, 6-7 bedrooms, 4-5 bath, I mean a castle. Your average home in Newtown, Connecticut. Gated, security, cameras, all that stuff. And here I am, I'm pulling up to this house, and I'm thinking to myself, God, what am I doing? This is a successful businessman in New York, worth probably millions of dollars, if you would, just by looking at their house. Married for a long time, a teenage son, and I'm going to walk into their living room at 30 years old and counsel them and help them. I pulled up and I was just intimidated as I looked at that house and said, God, what are you doing? I can't do this. God reminded me, said, Zach, you're right. You can't do it. But I can. Zach, listen to me. You're right this morning. They may have the big house. They may have the money. They may have the cars. But you have something that they don't have. You have something that they need. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a peace that passes all understanding. You have hope this morning. And with the confidence not of myself, but with the Holy Spirit, I walked into that living room and I sat in front of people that were twice my age, and with the boldness of the Holy Spirit, opened God's word, proclaimed it, invited them to church. The next week they came to church and the wife raised her hand for salvation. And we gave her a level 1 discipleship booklet that Pastor Wilkerson uses. And we're praying for her son, and her husband's now come 2 weeks in a row, and they're trying and they're looking for answers. And all that to say, if I quit, if I called it in, that family that needed something would never have gotten it. Do you realize this morning, college student, you are needed. You are needed. There are people our age right now that are pursuing the degree, they're pursuing the expensive career to make all the money, and they're going to come knocking on your door when you're a pastor one day because they're missing something. And so how could we sell out? How could we quit? How could we not realize the need of the hour? Our calling is needed this morning. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding, what he say there? Chapter 5, what the will of the Lord is. Wake up and realize this morning, number 3, we're almost done. The relationship that is needed to fulfill your calling. The relationship that is needed to fulfill your calling. The Greek word translated unwise in verse 18 can also be translated senseless. The will of the Lord is found this morning in the Word of God. To know the will of God, we must know the Word of God. We must know God. We must have a relationship with Him and His Word. Surely it's the height of stupidity to have in our hand the very Word of the living God and neglect to read it. Wake up this morning, college student. Don't get caught sleeping, college student. Realize you cannot make it through college in your own wisdom, in your own strength. You can't fulfill God's calling relying on your own wittiness or cleverness. We need God this morning. The question lies, quite simply put, we've heard it before. We've heard messages our generation since we were little, since the pastor schools and youth conferences and everything we've attended, we've heard it. But can we be honest and evaluate our own hearts and minds this morning? And I ask you this question. Simply put, college student, do you know God? Do you walk with God? Is it a game? Is it something mom and dad did because they're a pastor and we grew up in their church and we're just following their lead? Is it something we've heard about but we've never experienced? Do you know God? I'll never forget, as a college student my freshman year, dorm suit came knocking on our door. And if you want to complain about roommates, I was just telling Brother King, my freshman year, I had 9 roommates, Rice 100. I was the 10th. Thank you, Jericho program. Anyways, he came and knocked on the door, Rice 100. And he said, hey, grab your shoes. It was after curfew. Grab a sweater. Follow me. No idea where he was taking us. I remember it's after curfew. I've only been here a month or two. Nobody knew who I was. I didn't have a last name. I was a nobody. I put on my shoes, follow my dorm suit, and run out past the football field. And he takes us out behind the buses, and he starts to take us in the middle of the woods. And what is this guy going to do? Is he killing us? Where is he taking us? He takes us out in the woods, and as I proceed to go through those woods, and I don't know if it's still there, I love to look before I leave. There was an old path, circle. It was just beaten down in dirt as woods were around it, but you can tell it was beaten down because men have been there before praying. Men have been there before walking with God. He said, hey, I want to introduce this spot to you while you're a freshman. And I want to sit here for a few moments and let's just pray and talk to the Lord and get to know God. And I tell you this morning, that place became invaluable to me through college. I failed many times. I didn't read my Bible many times. I got caught up in the busyness like we all have many times. But it was back in those woods where I would go after he showed me that place and say, God, I want you to use me with my life. God, I want to know you. God, I want you to be real to me. God, I don't know what you have for me one day. I believe it's the pastor, but I pray wherever the ministry is someday, you would prepare those people and you would prepare me. And Lord, I pray that you would do a great work on 89-2. And God, I pray that you would do a great work in Division 2, 97-9. God, I pray that we would fill our bus. And that I pray for Jawan. And I pray for Miguel. And I pray for Tatiana. And I pray for Alex and Chris and Angel. And I pray that you would work in their lives. And Lord, oh God, use me, please. God, I want to know you. In the wintertime, it was the balcony of the chapel. Not that I'm anything great, but I understood because I had a dorm soup that pointed me in the early years of my college life that I could come to college and I could make the memories and I could find a wife, and thank God I did. And I could play sports and I could fill a bus and I could have all these good memories. But if I walk out those back doors after 4 years and I don't know God, I've missed everything. Do you know God, college student? Do you walk with him? Is he real to you? When's the last time you begged and you prayed for him to use you? When's the last time you prayed for your bus route? We're too worried about rushing back to the rec room to play and not getting hold of God to use us. You think that we're going to walk out these back doors and see God use us when we've never been used in college? You think we're going to reach people out there when you've never reached someone in Chicago? You think you're going to know God when you leave those back doors and he's just going to magically fall in your lap when you've never pursued him as a college student? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And if I could this morning, I come to you as a wake-up call and say this, college student, remember the relationship that's needed to fulfill your calling. Seek the Lord. Know God for yourself. Lastly, and I'm all done here. We gotta close. I'll say this in closing. Wake up and realize the result of your calling. When you stick with it, when you walk circumspectly, when you walk with wisdom, when you get help for things you need to get help with because you're honest before the Lord and you don't want to blow up down the road, when you realize how important our calling is and how needed it is and the burden, when you walk with God and you know him and you fulfill his will for your life, there is no greater thing than to see the end result of that. Third week, our church started. Family that we reached said, my daughter's going to come. I've tried to invite my daughter to church before when we lived in another place. And my daughter would come, but she would never bring her husband. He's Muslim. He doesn't want anything to do with God and church. Our first 4 weeks, and it's a long story, maybe I'll tell you another time. We were in a storefront. It was Easter Sunday. It was our third Sunday. And I'll never forget, she walked in and her husband came. And I was shocked. I was amazed. We're in this little storefront. God, what are you doing? And just preached what God gave me there on Easter Sunday. Preached on the resurrection. And I'll never forget when I said, head bowed and eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus Christ this morning. And I kid you not, I know sometimes we exaggerate when we preach, but I kid you not this morning. As he sat there with his head bowed and his eyes closed, there were tears falling from his eyes. And he raised his hand and he said, I want to be saved. There's no better thing than to see God use you to impact a life. There's nothing greater in this world. I wouldn't trade it for anything to see the end result. College student, I'm done. What can I say to you this morning? Don't get caught sleeping. Let our generation rise up. Let us do something big for God. Let us realize the seriousness of the hour. And let's see God use us like he's used generations before. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to stand behind this pulpit. Lord, we just want to do something for you. We want to see you move. We want to see you work. Lord, I pray that there would be a generation, there would be a student body this morning at Hiles Anderson College that realizes the seriousness of the hour, that realizes the seriousness of what we're called to do. Would walk with you, would know you. Lord God, use us, please. Lord, if there's college students here this morning that are struggling with something, I pray they'd get help, that they'd seek out to a staff member. Lord, we can't afford to lose more servants of God. We can't afford it. Lord, please help us to wake up this morning. God, use us in ways we never could have imagined. We'll give you the honor and the glory for it. We love you, we thank you, we ask these things in your son's name. Amen.